The following message is brought to you by MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. We are many stories made one family by one gospel. If you would like to connect with us, please check out our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.
Summer look at the Ten Commandments this morning is a part of our journey through the book of Exodus together. So if you do have a copy of God's Word with you, I invite you to take it and can make your way over the book of Exodus. Chapter 20, verse 12 is the command. We come to the fifth commandment this morning, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It very simply reads this: honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I want to start this morning by reading you a quote. And as I'm reading this quote, I want you to try to guess not just who said it, but when they said it. All right? So here are this gentleman, his words. He says, "Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, and tyrannize their elders." Anybody guess who said that? When? It was a man by the name of Socrates, 2,400 years ago. You know, there is a temptation for every generation to be a little bit harsh and overly critical of the next generation. I make it one of my goals as I grow older not to be the grumpy old man that exaggerates the flaws and deficiencies of young people. We would do well, we would all do well to remember that whatever deficiencies the next generation possess, that we were by and large no different than them when we were their age. And I point this out. I start this way because for those of us in the church, particularly those of us who have progressed beyond the years of our youth, the temptation with the fifth commandment is to sit back, you know, and point our finger and bemoan how far short youth today fall in obeying this command. And in doing so, honestly, we sound a lot more like the Pharisee who prays to God, "God, I thank you that I'm not like those sinners." Instead of the tax collector off in the corner pounding his chest and crying out for the mercy of God. And the reality is, we all need God's mercy and God's grace when it comes to the fifth word of the covenant as articulated here. I'll remind you that the primary original audience of not just the fifth commandment, but of all the words of the ten, were not young children, but were the adults of Israel. God is calling adult children, the adult men and women of the nation of Israel, to show honor, to give honor to their parents. And like all of the other commands, this command, again, not only reveals the heart of God, but it reveals the deficiencies of our own heart as we're confronted with the glory of God, and it gives us a vision of how to live as the people of God. And so I say all that to say, okay, whether you are age 10 or 60 this morning, there's a word here for every single one of us. Let's approach this word with much humility and grace. The fifth command begins what is known as the second table of the law. The first table of the Ten Commandments is comprised of commands 1 through 4, all of which focus on our vertical relationship with God, calling us to honor and love the Lord our God. The second table of the ten is comprised now of commands 5 through 10, and it focuses on our horizontal relationships, our love and honor of one another, of our neighbor. I'll remind you, we talked about this at the beginning of this summer's look at the Ten Commandments, that Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your entire self. And then he said the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So those two loves, the love of God and the love of neighbor, they are connected together, and you see both of those loves of God and neighbor in the very structure, the two tables of the Ten Commandments. In fact, we see that these two loves of God and neighbor are inextricably bound, and just by looking at the ordering of the Ten Commandments, we see that there is a priority that's given to our love of God, that our love of God is our first love. It is first priority of all of our loves. We can learn a really important lesson simply by observing the order of the Ten Commandments, which before calling us to treat people the right way, to love our neighbor, it begins with calling us to love God. Okay? This is because our capacity to love our neighbor is directly connected to our love of God. Okay. C.S. Lewis, he had a great way with words, and he put it this way. He said, "When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased." Okay? In other words, when you prioritize the love of God in your life, it doesn't detract from your love of neighbor, your love of spouse, your love of children, your love of other people. It actually increases your capacity to love other people. It also means that any struggle that you're facing in your love of neighbor, in your love of other people, ultimately points to a struggle in your love of God. There is a priority in our love of God. Listen, any attempt to love our neighbor that is divorced from a love of God rings hollow in heaven, and it ultimately falls short on earth. The order here is significant. It not only shows us the priority of our love for God as a first love, but the order of the ten also shows us, doesn't it, the priority of the home. So when God pivots here in the fifth word to address earthly relationships now in the second table of the law, the first word that he gives is a word about the home. I find that interesting that God doesn't kick off the horizontal commands with a prohibition against murder. He doesn't start with murder. That seems to me as being pretty foundational. Don't kill other people. He doesn't start there, does he? He starts the second table with a call to children to honor their parents. Guys, you see the wisdom of God in that order. You see that the health and love of the home is a first priority to a well-ordered and thriving society. Okay, one reason for that is because we learn to love, we learn to honor other people, we learn to honor our neighbors by learning first to love and honor our family, learning it within the home. If we cannot honor our father and mother who brought us into this world, what hope do we have to honor people outside of our family? Okay. That's why the breakdown of the family as defined and ordered by God is an essential ingredient to the breakdown of any society. And God understands the priority of that, the priority of the home. It's for this reason that our spiritual adversary has a very special interest in attacking the home, the family, as defined and ordered by God. And it's also why, as the people of God, we have a very special opportunity to shine the light of God's glory in this world by how we love and honor and relate to one another in our homes. So God starts with the home here. I want to talk about the word honor that's used in verse 12. Go back to verse 12. He says, honor your father and your mother. The word, the Hebrew word that's translated honor there, it's the word gabad. It can be gabad, gabed, gabod, depending on the form that it's in. I prefer gabod because that sounds powerful. Gabod, it's a word that literally means heavy, weighty. And what's interesting about this Hebrew word is it's the word that's used most often in the Old Testament to describe the glory of God. When the Bible talks about the glory of God, it talks about the gabod of God. The Hebrew language is really difficult to learn, but it's very artistic. It's descriptive. And when it's describing the glory and majesty of God, it describes it as weighty, as heavy. Okay, and this is the word that's used here in the fifth command. Give weight. Give a heaviness to your mother and your father. The idea is that we are to give our parents the weight in our hearts that they are due because of the role that God has given them in our lives. In other words, don't treat your relationship with your parents, don't treat their words, their counsel, their needs as light, as something that's light in your life. Instead, honor them. Give them the weight that they are due. Now, why is this such a big deal to God? That he would start the second table with this command. I'm going to talk about earthly relationships now. I'm going to start here. Honor your father and mother. Why such a big deal to God? I believe a part of the reason it's such a big deal to God is because there is a very real sense in which parents serve as God's vice regents within the home. And as such, parents, in a sense, as God has ordered humanity, represent God to their children within the home. If I could unpack that for just a minute here. While God, as our heavenly Father, and that's the language the Bible gives us to think about God, a parental language, as our heavenly Father, he has supreme authority in our lives, that is true, and yet we see in the scriptures that he has bestowed a measure of that authority onto parents within the home. This is how he has ordered the home. While God has ultimate glory, he has bestowed a measure of that weight, that glory, onto earthly parents, again, within the home. You see this from the very beginning in the book of Genesis chapter 1, where we're told that God created the man and the woman in his own image. And after saying that, two verses later, he then tells them to be fruitful and multiply, which means that a part of being made in the image of God, a part of being like him, of imaging and reflecting him, is man and woman's ability to come together and actually create life, to bring life into the world, to multiply other image bearers of God. And so even though God, of course, God himself is the ultimate author of life, he does that. He operates through human agency, and specifically the agency of a mom and a dad, of parents. And those agents, as the people on earth through whom we were brought into this world, now in that limited sense, to be sure, but in a very real sense, represent God as the ultimate giver of life in the home. Okay, so there is a weight, there is a glory, there is an authority that God has bestowed upon this role, this position of mother and father within the home. And you see that in the theology of the Bible, and certainly within the fifth word here. And because of this, this is so important. The home is the place, I would say the first place, where children learn how to love God, how to honor God. They learn that ideally through their relationship with their mother and their father. Okay, children learn to honor God by learning to honor the authorities in the home where God first places them, honor of mother and father. And this, I believe, is why this fifth word is such a big deal to God. It's not just so that Israel can have a well-ordered society. God cares about that, to be sure. But it's also because God wants the next generation of Israelites to learn to love him and honor him. And they will learn this, at least in part, in how they love and honor his vice regents in the home, namely their parents, their mother and father. In fact, I would expand it a little bit even beyond our honoring of God, that children learn first to honor all earthly authorities by learning how to honor authority within the home, okay? One author put it this way. I thought this was helpful. The home is the lab where children learn submission to authority. Another author said this. He said, God intends the family to be our first hospital, our first school, our first government, our first church. If we do not respect authority at home, we will not respect it anywhere. Okay, so this is a big deal to God because this virtue, this quality of honor is cultivated first in the home and how a child learns to honor and respond to their mother and father. Now, guys, there is a word for children here. And so I want to talk to the children, particularly, obviously, we're all children, but those children that are still living at home. The word for you, I believe, from this is that regardless of how good or bad you feel your parents are at parenting, I want to encourage you, use your years at home as a training grounds for your walk with God. Okay? I want to give you an example. There will be times in which you struggle to honor your parents because you don't understand their decision. You don't understand their instruction. You don't understand their boundaries, their rules, whatever it might be. It's going to be hard in that lack of understanding to show honor. But that is an opportunity actually for your spiritual growth and progress, because guess what? As you grow in your walk with the Lord, there's going to be times in your walk with the Lord that you're not going to understand God's decisions for your life. You're not going to always understand His ways, His thoughts. And you're going to be faced with a decision in those moments later in your life. Will I honor God even when I don't understand Him? When I don't get what He's doing in my life? And your relationship with your parent at home is a training grounds to cultivate an attitude of honor, listen, that is not anchored in your ability to understand your parents, but is anchored in your trust in God. It's training you. God is training you. Maybe you have the worst parents in the world. Maybe that's true. But even in that, God is training you in how to think about and relate to Him. Now, parents, I have a word for you also here. The word for parents here is that there is a weight that we should feel as God's vice regents within the home. Listen, it is so important that we train our children to honor authority. It's so important that we train and cultivate this spirit, this heart posture, this mindset of authority. I hope you know my heart, not a domineering, suffocating, oppressive type of authority, but a true biblical, godly authority that has been entrusted to us by God. We want to have friendly relationships with our kids. Like we want to be friends with our kids. And I know we live in a culture where like that's the supreme parenting goal, to just be friends with your kids. I get that. And we want that. We want to be friendly with our kids. But in pursuit of that friendship, we cannot surrender the parental authority that God has entrusted to us within the home. Because how we exercise that authority is training them to honor God in how they honor us. You see the implications of this. It's hard, I get it, but it's so important. It's why the book of Proverbs uses really provocative language when it talks about discipline of children. So Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod... So whoever falls short to discipline his son hates his son, Solomon says. That's strong language. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, I know that's striking language, but what King Solomon is saying here is that we bless our children. We actually bless them through controlled, consistent, loving discipline, because by training them to honor authority, we are sowing seeds into their heart that by God's grace will one day bear the fruit of an honor of the Lord in their lives. Okay? It's so important that we train our kids in this way, in a culture that is aimed at undermining parental authority and maximizing adolescent autonomy. I want to encourage moms and dads here this morning to stand strong in the role that God has given you, the responsibility God has given you in the home. And I'll point out, it's not just dad, it's mom and dad. As the command clearly says, honor your father and your mother. Mom and dad, stand strong in the role God has given you within the home. train your children to honor authorities. It's going to be hard at times, but by doing so, you are giving them a gift. You are giving them blessing. You are giving them something that will bring blessing into their lives as they grow older and leave your home. Okay, that's actually where verse 12 ends. It's the only command of the 10 that has a promise attached to it, right? He says, honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That phrase, long life in the land, that was a Hebrew phrase of blessing. It referred not primarily to a quantity of days, but a quality of abundance, an abundant, blessed life. The promise here is not that if you honor your mother and father, then you're going to always live to be 100. The promise is that when you learn honor, when you learn a right relationship to godly authority, it will put you on a trajectory of life that will bring blessing. Because by learning to honor parents, this is a first step in learning to honor God. And a life that honors God is a life of abundance and a life of blessing. Okay, I want you to see that this call to honor mother and father is not intended to keep you from joy, to keep you from delight and satisfaction. It's actually an invitation to a way of life that brings ultimate intimacy with God, which is where joy and delight and satisfaction is found. Okay. I want to talk just really practically about what it looks like to honor father and mother. John Calvin, the reformer, talking about this idea of honor, he defined it this way. He said, honor contains at least these three things. He says, honor includes obedience, reverence, and gratitude. Obedience, reverence, and gratitude. Now, think through each of those. Obedience is at the forefront, particularly for children who are living at home under the care of their parents. A foundational way of honoring your parents when you're living at home is simply obeying their instruction with a cheerful attitude, a respectful attitude. Obedience shows honor. Now, we know as we grow older and we become our own adults and we move outside the home and outside the care, the immediate care of mother and father, that obedience component of honor begins to dissipate. It looks different, okay? The fifth command does not require adult children to obey every desire of their parents so that their parents can dictate every decision of their life. We see that in the leaving and cleaving language of Genesis 2, right? But the call to honor our parents never expires, does it? It doesn't come with an expiration date. And so for adult children, those other components of reverence and gratitude, as you grow older and become your own adult and you have living parents, reverence and attitude, those are the aspects of honor that really come to the forefront. Reverence simply means that we are still giving our parents the weight, the significance, the weight, the heaviness in our lives that they are due. We possess a deference of attitude and mindset and spirit toward them. An attitude that's deeper than just lip service, right? Like we don't honor our parents whenever we're kind to them in person, but then we just rake them across the coals and complain and bemoan and slander them to our friends or other family members. Okay. We also show reverence to parents when we involve them in our lives. We seek their counsel. Okay, it's a great word for young adults. When a young adult picks up the phone and calls his dad and says, Dad, what do you think I should do here? What do you think about this decision? You're not required to do exactly what your dad says. Honor doesn't require that. But the fact that you are involving, that shows honor. That shows honor to your dad. It shows honor to your mom. I want to acknowledge there are certainly situations where clear boundaries need to be established between adult children and their parents. Whenever you're in a situation where parents possess an unhealthy dependency on their children or become genuinely abusive toward their children, it's important to recognize that there are broken situations that require wisdom and what it looks like to show honor. Honoring parents does not require you or your family by extension to just continually absorb toxic, abusive behaviors or words or whatever it might be from your parents, particularly parents that are not walking with the Lord. It requires a spirit-filled wisdom and discretion of what does it look like to, even though I need boundaries, I need discretion here, what does it look like to show honor in my situation, in my circumstance? So I want to acknowledge that. I also want to acknowledge that we live in a culture where it is in vogue for counsel to be given to young people who have parents who disagree with them on any ideological, political, religious, any difference at all. The counsel to be, you've got to cut them off. You got to cut them out of your life. You got to be done with them. That counsel is very much in vogue in our Western culture. And I just want to acknowledge that, guys, that doesn't please the Lord. That doesn't please the Lord. You don't have to agree with your parents on candidates and positions or ideals. You owe them honor. You owe them honor. I want to acknowledge that this is going to veer in different directions for different cultures. In many Eastern cultures, reverence for parents can drift toward an unhealthy extreme of allowing parents to dictate every life decision and to actually be the heaviest voice in one's life, even as an adult. And I want to acknowledge that's not healthy. To give a parent after you've started and established your own family a supreme weight, a supreme voice, a supreme place. That's not healthy. That's an extreme that God does not intend. But I also want to acknowledge in Western culture at times we err in the other direction, the other extreme, where we lose this sense of reverence and honor for parents altogether. And just to say that the biblical vision avoids both extremes, where we honor our parents with a healthy, biblically measured reverence and deference and honor of them. Okay. So reverence. We honor them by showing gratitude. Let's talk just a minute about gratitude. Of course, this applies to children of all ages, but particularly for older adults whose parents are transitioning into the latter years of their life. This is where gratitude, the component of honor, really comes to the fore. This is a primary way Jesus said that you would live out this fifth commandment, is by caring for your aging parents in their days of need. Remember, Jesus got on the Pharisees because he said, you claim to honor your father and mother, but they're hungry and you're not helping them. Because you've found this loop, this workaround. You know, anything I might give to them is Corbin. It's devoted to God, and so I can't help them, you know. And he says, no, you've missed the heart of God here. So in your parents' latter years, we receive this privilege of paying back a portion of the love and care that they gave and have given to us. So as best as we are able, We make sure our parents are cared for as they age. We visit them. We call them. We don't forget about them. And by doing so, we honor them. Just even if I could just speak to the pragmatic part of your heart and mind here, just very pragmatically, your children will learn how to care for you when you need it at the end of your life by watching how you care for your parents at the end of their life. In fact, I'll broaden that, because your children will learn how to honor authorities. Honor is one of those lessons that is so often caught before it's taught. It's more caught than taught. And so they're watching you. Yeah, how do you talk to that police officer who pulls you over? How do you talk about your boss? How do you talk about and treat leaders, authorities in the church and in the country, in the world, whatever it might be? They're watching. What vision of honor, of authority, are they catching from us? Okay, God has called us to be a people of the covenant, a people who give honor where honor is due. I want to just acknowledge throughout church history, the Christian church has seen the fifth commandment as applying beyond just parental relationships, beyond parental authority, and applies more broadly. The spirit of this word applies more broadly. I'll give you an example. The Westminster Larger Catechism talks about the fifth commandment. It says, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as, by God's ordinance, are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Okay? I think that's helpful. It's helpful to understand that the spirit, the heart of this command, is to give honor wherever it is due. Maybe you never knew your natural parents. Maybe your natural parents are not believers. Maybe they've cut you out of their life because you've given your life to Jesus. I know that applies to some of you. There's still a word here for you. There's still an aspect of the heart of God that we need to see. This fifth command displays a way of life, which is to honor your elders, to honor those in authority over you. While you may not have natural parents to honor, you have spiritual parents in our church to whom honor is due. Okay. Just, I think the word here is that in a culture that is marked by this inherent suspicion of authority, sometimes even disdain of authority, that the Church of Jesus Christ can stand out by being a people who outdo one another in showing honor. In showing honor. All right, I'll close with this. I want to remind you, and I want to keep bringing you back to this point, because this is law that we're preaching here. We're in the Ten Commandments, okay? We have to remember, the Ten Commandments are not a standard of performance that God requires you to keep in order to be accepted by Him or called His people, okay? God's acceptance and calling is bestowed by grace through Jesus' perfect obedience to all of the law, all of the commands. Jesus alone perfectly honored His father and mother. Okay, salvation, acceptance is available only on the basis of what Jesus has done, and is received only by faith and through faith in Him. And so if you don't know God today, if you don't know the Lord, your response to this word is not, I got to work harder at honoring my mother and father. I got to work harder so God will accept me. No, your response is to trust the one who honored God perfectly. If you and listen, whether you're a Christ follower or not, if you're here this morning and you're hearing this and you're seeing this biblical vision and you recognize, man, I have fallen short and I've got this regret. I've fallen short of this word, this command in my own life. Don't allow a feeling of regret or guilt to crush you. Can I just encourage you to run to the cross and find mercy at the cross of Jesus Christ that is greater than all of our sin? Find in Christ a grace that can heal every broken heart and every broken relationship. And then after you find your rest in Christ, after you find your rest in Christ, remember that the Ten Commandments then call us to live as a people who reflect his character. They call us to a new order of life. And the power to live this life comes only by the Spirit of God. It's only by abiding in the love of Jesus that you will find the strength to live this life of honor that God has called you to live. There are many broken family relationships and situations represented here today. I recognize that, and I just want to acknowledge this command would be so much easier if we all had healthy, non-dysfunctional, you know, relationships with our parents. That's not reality. Understand, this is a command. When you're in those situations that can feel heavy and confusing, and if that's you, I want to encourage you to lean on Christ, okay? His Spirit is your wonderful counselor to give you the wisdom and the power to live out the heart of this fifth command in your specific situation. Remember, the promise of the new covenant is that the law of God has been written on our hearts by the Spirit of God. And so trust and follow Christ. Be led by his Spirit. Be strengthened by his Spirit. No matter your situation, as you seek to live a life that gives honor where honor is due.